Today is DSF Sunday. It happens every year at this time. And I have to credit Father Scott, the priest who helps me here, with helping me to, in a humorous way, to understand how to talk about this. Now, let me tell you what was the humorous way. He tells the story of around 5th or 6th century missionaries that were moving into Northern Europe and were encountering barbarian tribes that were fairly violent and savage. And they began doing the work of the preaching of the gospel. And little by little, they began to get some success. And when they would do baptisms of adults, they would do it, of course, in rivers or in the seashore. And they noticed, especially with the men, and at first they didn't make anything of it, but when the men, they were being baptized, if you're being baptized by immersion, they either put you frontwards or put you to the back. But either way they went, the men would always raise their hands. And they would either go backwards into the sea or frontwards, but they would always raise their hands. And at first, like I said, they didn't make anything out of it. But after a while, it came up in conversation with some of them as to why they were doing that. And it turns out that it was they did battle with their right hand. And so what they were doing is they were saying, I want to give myself to Christ except for my battle hand, which I may need to do something with it that is not in accordance with Jesus. And so they were baptizing all of them except their right hand, which they kept above the sea. The reason that Father Scott brought it to mind, that story, is because he said, you know, I think if that were to happen today, what we would do is we would hold our wallets above. And we would be baptized and hold our wallets and saying, everything is fine except don't touch this. It's an interesting phenomenon when it's time for me as your pastor or any priest to talk about the linkage between money and faith. We have a kind of a, it's actually fairly puritanical notion that faith, the spiritual and the physical should be separate. In other words, the spiritual and money should never not touch each other, because money sort of dirties the spiritual. And it's an interesting way of thinking, because actually in the ancient world, there was a heresy that actually taught that. The heresy, I can't remember the exact name of it. I think it was Docetism. I can't remember. But anyway, they taught that Jesus only seemed to be human, because God would never allow his spirit to be contaminated with matter. Couldn't be. And so Jesus would never, you know, be sweaty or go to the bathroom or do any of those things because, yuck, the Spirit is, the nobility of the Spirit can never be tainted with the flesh. Now, and I think that that's the same thing as taking your wallet and sticking it out. Make sure that it doesn't contaminate or sacralize it. The reason that I'm talking about this today is because of the third word in that DSF. It's the word fund, and it implies money. But what I'd like, we're going to show a video in a minute from the Cardinal. It's only 7 minutes, much shorter than my homily. Yes, Larry. Oh. But basically, what we do every year is we say there are certain things that are so important that we have to make sure that they get done. And no one parish can do them because they're too big. And so, since we're Christians, and since we say we can't just walk away and say, well, we're going to take care of only what happens in the parish, if you do that, you're no longer Catholic. Because remember, Catholic means concerning all, the universal, the all. And so the moment you say, we're going to take care of only our own, you cease being Catholic because that's not what Jesus came to teach. So what I want you to do is listen to, view the video that's going to come, but view it from that perspective. View it from the perspective of two things. One, we can't just be spiritual and leave people, well, whatever happens to you, happens to you. Because Jesus very much taught us about, you know, feeding the hungry and clothing, doing very physical things for each other. And then the second point that I want you to look for is the whole notion of what would it mean if we just say, we don't need to care about that. Would that not be a challenge to our Catholicism? Watch the video. And if somebody could bring down the lights, I would appreciate it.
The theme of the DSF Fund this year is go make disciples.
In Jesus' public life, he always goes towards people and invites them. Come, follow me.
This is the core of our faith, to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Without being disciples, we wouldn't have a church.
I chose Go Make Disciples as the theme because if there's one thing Pope Francis has said since he ascended the chair of St. Peter, as we call it, is that evangelizing means go making disciples. Even if you seem to be a novice disciple yourself, there's no difficulty in going and making disciples by your witness, by your time, and the use of the resources God has given you in talents, or even in the case of financial resources.
Only as disciples and followers of Jesus are we willing to give our total selves to God and to the service of others.
Ever since I've come to the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston, I've realized that we have to constantly look at and encourage our vocations to consecrated life and to the priesthood. They are lifelines for us in this ever-expanding local Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston.
The Diocesan Services Fund supports our Office of Vocations. We receive the support for not only the programs that we provide for young men and women discerning their call, but we also receive the funding for our seminarians who are studying and being formed to be priest for our archdiocese.
My vocation begins after my confirmation retreat. I became very active at youth ministry at St. Andrew's Catholic Church. I was enamored by the very reality of having catechists teaching us and recognizing the roles as teachers, and that just planted a seed in my heart.
I didn't have your standard angel choir from above revelation. It was more of small moments, very intimate moments of God reaching out to me.
Back in 2012, right before I entered the seminary, I attended the Life Awareness Retreat. Not only did it clarify the religious communities and the diocesan priesthood, but it provided me that community of those who were discerning. And it also inspired in me that final decision to enter seminary, because then I was able to recognize the beauty of the church.
We all know that the church needs more vocations. We need to make sure that people know that the call to religious life is alive and vibrant in the world today.
Our vocations office is second to none, in my opinion, for what they do to encourage our young people today. Young people today are besieged by many voices. Sometimes to step aside and to hear the quiet voice of the Lord is not only appropriate, it's absolutely essential. Many of our seminarians and diaconate candidates are involved in ministries throughout the archdiocese, such as special youth services. This program was created more than 60 years ago to help youth in juvenile detention. Here we truly witness the making of young disciples.
Special youth services helped me to have a positive outlook on my future by showing me that, like, God there for me and telling me God there for me, and letting me know that it ain't never too late to change.
We do Bible study, one-on-one pastoral counseling. We do spiritual mentorship. We try to approach the youth in a lot of different ways. The more we approach them in talking about religion in those different avenues, the more likely they are to find the one that actually helps them to become a disciple.
Whenever you go out and make a disciple of the Lord Jesus, there's an effect. It moves out. When you give away something material, then it ends. When you give away something spiritual, it expands.
It's amazing how the Holy Spirit works with those. And allowing us to be with people while they're forming in their vocations, it helps us later on to be able to be an asset or resource for those back in the parishes.
What the Special Youth Services is able to do is to expand the hearts of these young people. When these young people graduate, they go into their communities, and many of them become exquisite disciples of Jesus who make other disciples of Jesus.
We may plant a seed for one of those kids, but only God knows when it's going to flourish.
Every year when we do this video for DSF, we always focus on a few of the 60 programs that the Archdiocese offers as a result of DSF. One of those programs is Camp Cappy.
The mission of Camp Cappy is to serve the youth of this Archdiocese, both in our Catholic schools and our parishes. And this is a perfect place where young people can step apart to come away from, to focus on what God has called them to be, what God calls them to do, and to reflect on God's purpose in their lives.
In all of this, our young people learn how to deepen what it is to go and be on mission to be a disciple of Jesus.
Here at Camp Cappy, we serve a variety of young people throughout the Archdiocese as well as dioceses that surround us. For our weekday program, the School of Environmental Education, we serve close to 1,500 students each year.
When students pass through the School of Environmental Education at Camp Cappy, they come to grow in their understanding of how faith and science is connected, the necessity to serve one another and build good relationships as a stronghold of their faith and as their community life. They're also able to learn more about God's creation, how they need to take care of it, and also how that translates to taking care of one another.
If you go up to Camp Cappy, nature is all around. And it's quiet, except, I suppose, for the chatter of the young people. But they also learn silence up there.
We live in a world that is very loud. Here at Camp Cappy, it gives them that opportunity to pause, to reflect, and to deal with some of the things that they're dealing with on a daily basis.
I think Camp Cappy is a little jewel that we have in this local church to help our young people come to grips with the fact that Jesus has called them, but not just called them and sits with them, but also sends them.
It is a wonderful opportunity to see the transformation of a young person who comes to Camp Cappy one way, and they leave spirit-filled.
Brothers and sisters, for the last number of years, I've made an appeal to be generous to the DSF and the services that DSF provides. I come back this year, and I make, as you might say, the same pitch. I know I make it this year in times that are perhaps more sacrificial for our people. But I want to let you know how important the various activities of DSF are for us as believers, as disciples, and how important they are in helping to make disciples. I've seen the effects that these programs have. Pope Francis has said, evangelizing and evangelization begins with me. If I'm just a novice, that's okay. You can still go out and make disciples for the Lord Jesus. I am grateful to all of the members of this local church who have always been very, very generous to DSF. If I'm asking you in an intense way to be generous this year, it's because I know it may be more of a challenge. It's going to be a challenge for all of us, but I know we can do it. Go make disciples.
Just want to make a couple of comments, and some of these comments to me are so obvious that I make them every year because they really are the heart and soul of why I think this is important, and not just kind of an appendage. Let me give you three instances. I think all of you know that Houston is a major port city. It's the number of cars and imports that come into the port of Houston is huge. I never really thought about the number of ships and the number of sailors that make entrance into the port of Houston from all kinds of different countries. And before the archdiocese was involved at the port of Houston, when those big ships would come in, guess who was waiting to greet the sailors? Mostly drug dealers and prostitutes. And the environment down at the docks for these guys that have been at sea for weeks and months away from their families was something that was very destructive. So what's one of the things that the diocese does? No one parish can handle all of that. There's a tiny parish close to the port of Houston, but it's got one priest and several hundred families. No way to handle all of those ships and all of those sailors. So what does the Catholic Church do? Do we walk away? Do we just say, well, you know, register in a parish and you're in town, we'll see you. Otherwise, no. We can't do that. Why? Because it's not Catholic. It means that we're parochial, meaning we only take care of the people who are right around us. And Jesus forbade us from doing that. And so what does the Catholic Church do? There's a huge center of maritime ministry, and there's a whole department that all they do is they have chaplains that as soon as a ship comes into the port of Houston, the chaplains go on board that ship and start talking to the sailors. And then there's a center, the Seaman's Center, there at the port of Houston, and they invite them to come. And what's there? They can make phone calls home, either free or very reduced price. They can get something to eat. There's a little restaurant there. There are games. There is counseling if they need it. They provide an extensive amount of services for those sailors. Who does that? Well, not any one parish. The DSF. The DSF puts together chaplains to make sure, and they subsidize them to get them to the sailors. Give you another example. The prisons. Do you know how many prisons there are around here? They're not here around this area, but around the countryside in our archdiocese. Do you know how many prisoners there are? What do we do? Do we just say, well, you know, you got in trouble, it's your problem? No, we can't do that. And so what does the diocese do? The diocese says, you know, it's too big for any one parish. So what we're going to do is every parish in the whole archdiocese is going to take a little bit. And we're all going to bring that together into one fund of diocesan services, and we're going to make sure that every prison has a group of chaplains. Think about the hospitals at the medical center and all the different hospitals that Houston has. Can you imagine the number of beds that are here in Houston? And when you're sick, you need a sense of not being isolated from God and from the community. So who can visit all those patients that are Catholic? And there are thousands of them. And the answer is, nobody can in one parish. So what does the archdiocese do? They say, let the DSF bring together a group of chaplains. And all they do, the entire thing that they do, is take care of patients when they are in the medical center. And you could go on and on. You know, the one they brought in there to me was really important, because I remember very much the guy who started that ministry. And that is, when you're arrested and you're a kid, you go to the juvenile detention center. What do we do with those kids? No chaplain there? Well, who takes care of it? The DSF. The community of the deaf. Do you know how many deaf people there are? Do you know that we as an archdiocese provide sign language mass? Who takes care of that? The DSF. The seminary from which yours truly and others have been ordained. Who takes care of that? The DSF. And you could go on and on and on with the things that the DSF does. So let me close it. What I'm asking you to do is just to remember that this is not just money. You know, every once in a while, whenever we have to deal with money, we tend to fall back into that thing that I mentioned at the beginning, that spirituality and money need to be separate, and the spiritual stuff should never get dirty. But that's not what happened in the incarnation. Jesus became flesh, meat. That's why it's called the incarnation. For those of you who know a little Spanish, do you know how to say meat? Carne. Incarnation. In Spanish, what you hear is, Jesus became meat. God became meat. And at that moment, you go, yeah. But actually, that's exactly what happened. So why is that important? Because when you love somebody, you can't do it just spiritually. The spirituality has to have feet. has to have feet. That's why there's an old saying that says, when you pray, you got to move your feet. Okay? You got to do it. It's not just about, well, I'm up here with God, and you all take care of yourselves. We can't do that. We can't do that because that's not authentic Christianity. So, and what it means to be Catholic is we take the whole shebang. The whole shebang. And so as we begin with DSF this year, just take it from that perspective. Don't just view it as, well, the church need more money. I guess you could bring it down to that level. But at that level, human beings are just sweat and meat. And we all know that human beings are much more than that. So whenever you donate, just remember we're doing what Jesus told us to do. That's what it means to be a disciple. Thanks for listening.